Lewis Hamilton. In the Premier League, Manchester United have beaten Everton 2-1. BBC News. Now on BBC Radio 4, this week's classic serial is the second and concluding part of Set in Darkness by Ian Rankin. Ron Donaghy stars as Inspector John Rebus in a thriller set in Edinburgh during the building of the new Scottish Parliament in the 1990s. As the police investigation into three separate deaths comes to a head, Rebus is about to meet an old enemy.
You're trying to turn three cases into one, Rebus.
Why not?
A murder in 1979, another murder 20 years later, and a suicide. It's coincidence, surely.
I don't believe in coincidence, Linford.
There's a darkness in you, Rebus. I bet you have trouble sleeping at night. Am I right? Though my soul may set in darkness, it will rise in perfect light.
You quoting me poetry?
Or a line from a song? I can't remember. Same again.
Another great decision by D.I. Rebus. One night stand. 20 years ago, I'd have been doing cartwheels. 20 years ago, I didn't have dodgy knees and a beer belly. And the lucky lady wasn't part of a murder inquiry. This gets out. You're history, old man.
Rebus, Set in Darkness, dramatised by Chris Dolan from the novel by Ian Rankin, Episode 2.
Best to keep working in the Badlands of Gorgie, the centre of Big Ger Cafferty's empire. Or was. Cafferty's locked up safely in Barlinnie Prison. My finest day.
Cafferty!
Put him in the back, boy. Well, quick now, Inspector. You and me are going for a wee drive.
Don't panic, straw man. Bit of a mystery tour, that's all. Heard the place has changed since I've been away.
A new parliament and everything.
Regeneration. Music to my ears.
How did you swing it, Cafferty? You're supposed to be in Barlinnie.
Head for Leithrab.
Leith it is.
Maybe the governor didn't like it that I was running the show. I mean, his own screws were giving Big Ger more respect than they gave him.
So prison didn't teach you humility.
Okay. I dare say it was good behaviour and the inoperable cancer.
If only.
Funny, isn't it? I used to carry around pictures of women in my breast pocket. Now I carry my death certificate, an X-ray. The dark area is what you're looking for.
What I'm looking for, Cafferty, is your name on this.
He's all heart, eh, Rab?
He's a peach.
Rab got out the week before me, best pals inside. Hey, Rab, 1 minute you're in the barrel, next you're in a beamer. See, Dad look after you, didn't I?
Aye.
The city's changed, Stroma.
I get the feeling you haven't.
Prison always changes a man. In my case, I brought on the big C.
How long do they say?
Oh, time enough for us to get reacquainted. God, it's good to be out. And right now, I don't care what got me here. Now, you've been sniffing round my office. Why, tell me why?
Trying to get in touch with an old mate of yours, Bryce Callan.
There's a name for the crypt.
He's in Spain, isn't he?
Is he?
Oh, don't give us a cent, Cafferty. I hear you still pass on a little percentage to him.
And why would I do that? He's got family, hasn't he? Let them look after him.
The name Dean Coghill ring any bells?
And you the man?
A body turned up in a fireplace in Queensbury House. They're turning it into part of the new parliament. Body's been there 20 odd years. There was building work going on there in 78 and 79.
Coghill's firm was doing it. What's that going to do with Bryce Callan?
I hear that Callan and Coghill crossed swords.
Wouldn't he fancy Coghill's chances there? Why don't you ask him yourself?
He's dead.
You're always digging up corpses, Stroma. One fit in the past and the other one in the grave.
Cafferty, yours is one corpse I'll be happy to leave rotten.
Pull up, Rap. Good night, Rebus.
What a time for Ger Cafferty to re-enter my life. His shadow seems to loom all over this city again. The second murder we were investigating was Roddy Greaves, a Labour candidate for the new Scottish Parliament.
I'm not sure this is a good idea. Maybe Linford should be the one to talk to Lorna Greaves.
Look, Siobhan, I've told you.
You're involved with her, sir.
I am not involved with her.
Oh, you saying you didn't sleep with her?
Keep your voice down. What does it matter if I did?
This is a murder case. She's a victim's sister and now you're going to question her.
She isn't a suspect.
Isn't she? Since when?
Place is a mess.
Mrs. Greaves, do you remember me?
Of course I do. The policeman.
And this is DC Clark.
Pleased to meet you. We're actually here to see Lorna.
I'm here. Hello again.
Yeah, hi.
Excuse all the boxes, trying to do a spring clean.
She wants to sell my paintings.
Mother, for heaven's sake, I don't need the money. I want them clean and reframed.
Her husband needs the money.
Oh, give me strength. What do you two want anyway? I hope you're here to arrest me. Anything would be better than her.
You can always go to your own home.
And leave you wallowing here in self-pity. Can't have that, mummy dearest.
You're a monster.
Which makes you Dr. Frankenstein.
And a drunk. And a slut. She threw herself at every man she ever met.
I still do. Don't I?
Perhaps we've come at a bad time.
Oh, look, we're scaring the filth. Isn't that precious, Mother? Did you realise we had such power?
Come on, Clark, this is pointless.
Oh, don't be such a baby. I'll put these back.
No, you're right. We'll have them looked at, reframed. Must be 40 years since I painted some of these.
Now, you, what?
Clark, tell her.
I've been investigating the suicide of a homeless man.
Who seems to have been reading an article about Roddy's murder just before he jumped from Waverley Bridge.
This wouldn't be Super Tramp by any chance. Remember, Mother, it was in the papers. The tramp who died with a fortune in the bank.
Yeah, he called himself Chris Mackey. That name familiar to you at all? This is a photograph of him.
Oh, give it to me. Nope. Neither the name nor the face.
Now, there's no easy way to ask this, Mrs. Greaves, but it couldn't be your other son. He disappeared so long ago.
Alistair? What the hell are you talking about?
Alistair's got fair hair. Looks nothing like this.
Let me see.
It'll only upset you. It's nothing like him. Put this away, officer.
Are you sure?
People can change in 20 years.
People can change overnight.
I'll show you Alistair. Come with me. Down here.
It's a beautiful garden.
This is the old outhouse. Our secret place when we were kids. Then Mother turned it into a studio and we were locked out.
This is where you work, Mrs. Greaves.
Not so often these days. They're in that pile. Over there.
Where did all these come from? More paintings to clean up.
These are the ones I wanted to show you.
Good God. It's Alistair. And again. Again. How many are there?
One for every 2 or 3 years since he left. I imagine him growing, aging. I see him in my mind and paint him.
They're wonderful. It's like watching a man move through life.
And it's certainly not Chris Mackey.
You never said anything.
You'd have been jealous. Don't deny it. Alistair was my favourite, you see. And then when he ran away... Maybe this is my way of explaining it. Let me see that picture of your tramp. I'm not that easily upset, Lorna.
There you are.
Well, well, well. After all these years...
You know him.
Where is he? I've been so wanting to talk to him.
He's dead, I'm afraid, Mrs. Greaves.
The tramp who killed himself, Mother. Remember?
Who is it?
His name is Frederick Hastings.
Freddy? Let me see. Well, I suppose it could be. Yes. Well, 20 years since I set eyes on him.
Freddy?
Alistair's business partner.
Dead. And he could have told me where Alistair is.
Tea?
Thank you. Everyone thought they'd skipped off into the twilight together, hand in hand.
Utter rubbish.
Mother never thought Alistair was gay.
I'd have rather liked it if he had been. He wasn't.
But they disappeared at the same time. All we know is that when Alistair didn't turn up after a few days, we tried to contact Freddy, but he had vanished too.
Did Freddy have any family?
Not that I ever met.
He rather adopted us. The fool.
His parents died within a year of each other.
Left him some money.
Most of which he lost.
Is that why he left? Bad debts?
Possibly. And Alistair too?
I don't think so. I'd have given him the money if he'd asked me.
When was this?
Over 20 years ago.
And they ran a business together? Their last foray was into property. Made as big a mess of that as everything else. Bars, restaurants. All of them closed after a few weeks.
Property? Could it have been land development?
He was so determined to make us think he could manage, that he was capable.
When in fact he was hopeless at everything.
Unlike you, I suppose.
If they ran off because they were in debt, how come Freddy had nearly £500,000 in a briefcase just a few months later? You're the detective. You tell us.
What's this got to do with Roddy's murder?
Inspector Rebus thinks they might be linked.
What? You think Freddy might have killed Roddy?
Might he have had a reason?
I don't know.
Did Freddy and Roddy know each other?
They'd have met a few times, I suppose.
Did Freddy have an office?
Not exactly. They had a shed somewhere in Granton, I think.
Inspector, can I join you?
Be my guest.
I've been knee-deep in Dean Coghill's files.
Good on you, Wiley.
Came across a name I thought you might know. A young apprentice called Hutton?
Barry Hutton.
Hutton Holdings. Big deal land developer. Millionaire, isn't he?
And Bryce Callan's nephew. Let his family look after him.
Sir?
Oh, just something an old acquaintance said.
I took the initiative of going to see Mr. Hutton. Seems legit. He didn't seem to know anything about the body found in the fireplace.
Me too rich to read the papers.
But he was on the Queensbury house job in 78. He was just out of school, trying to get a foot in the building trade. He remembers the fireplace being opened up. Straight after that job, he joined his uncle's firm.
Good old Uncle Bryce gave him his first break in land development. Figures.
You ought to see him now. Got a hand in redevelopment from Leith to South Gyle. Sitting on top of the world as Mr. Hutton.
You've clearly got a talent for paperwork, D.S. Wiley. I've got another wee job for you.
But, sir...
But me no buts. Freddie Hastings, business partner of Alistair Grieve.
Who's he?
Brother of Roddy Grieve.
But that isn't even the same case.
It might be. That's what I want you to find out. Grieve and Hastings put their stuff into storage before they did a disappearing act. Down in Granton. Here are the details. Have fun.
But, sir...
And good work on Hutton. You're a star, Wiley.
Uncle Jack. Sorry I'm late.
Uncle?
It's what I've always called you.
Bryce Callan's your Uncle Barry. I'm just your fairy godmother. Seems I've cast a good spell. You're looking prosperous. Barry Hutton Holdings. Big business. We've both got something to celebrate. Champagne?
Just water for me. Never drink at lunchtime.
Yeah. Don't drink, don't smoke. Make all your own dresses.
You got out early.
I was a good boy inside. And how is Bryce?
Fine, far as I know.
Oh, you never see him?
He won't set foot back here.
I know that. But you never go out there? Nice Spanish villa holiday?
I can't remember my last holiday.
All work and no play, Barry.
And what about you? Few people come straight out of Barlinnie prison to a swanky restaurant like this.
I kept my business going from inside. A lot to be said for it. Now, let's you and I talk business.
That's what I do. Shoot.
Thanks for coming around so quick.
What's up, Siobhan?
Look, I shouldn't have bothered you, but I got a series of those calls.
What calls?
Nuisance calls. Two or three times a day. Three in a row this evening,
I answer, he hangs up.
He?
Well, I'm sure of it. If the answering machine gets it, he waits till the thing's recording before putting the phone down.
You tried 1471?
Yeah, number withheld. It's not just that. I get the feeling that someone's watching me.
Oh, go on.
From the tenement across the road. I mean, it's ridiculous, but I see a figure every now and then from that window. The stairwell of the close.
This still happening?
Actually, no. It's a few days since... What do you mean, still? You know something about this? You do? Bloody hell! Is it Linford?
Look, Siobhan...
How did you know?
Look, the time I dropped you off here last week, I saw him going to that close. I followed him up.
What the hell does he think he's doing?
He's been jilted, Siobhan. It makes a man crazy.
Oh, that's all right then. Yeah? You make it sound like normal.
I'm just trying to explain it, Siobhan.
Someone jilts you, you start stalking them.
Stop!
She's a pathetic little perv.
Stop, for God's sake!
Spy on me again, and I'll rip your nuts off!
You're choking me!
Maybe you'd like that too, eh, you perv? Or is it just playing with yourself up close?
You've got this wrong, Siobhan.
DC Clark to you, tosspot.
Enough, Siobhan. Let him go. Let him go.
He comes anywhere near me again.
I said you should have a word, not throttle a man.
So you put her up to it?
This is between you and me, dickhead. No one else.
Oh, you think you're God's gift, don't you?
That's it. You're a dead man.
Stop it, Clark.
What the hell's going on here?
There's no point in asking me, sir. Linford will tell you a pack of lies, and even if you don't believe him, your boss will.
Humour me.
Siobhan went out with Linford a couple of times. Nothing serious. Then she chucked him. I dropped her off at her house one night, and as I was driving off, I saw Linford nip up a close directly opposite her. So naturally, I followed him.
Naturally.
He was on the close landing across from her flat, looking onto her sitting room and her bedroom, taking photographs.
Bloody hell.
And before you ask, no. Linford opened the camera, overexposed them.
So no proof?
My word against his. Then Siobhan starts receiving nuisance calls. Number unavailable.
So again, no proof.
Can't wait to hear the version Linford's going to tell you.
I already know what he's going to say.
You do?
Linford had a chat with the assistant chief this morning.
Sleepy.
He says you want Siobhan for yourself.
Well, that's his fantasy, not mine.
Yeah? You sure about that, John?
Sir? Look, I know the score here. You're looking forward to retirement. You can see this far enough. Easier for you just to let the boss's blue-eyed boy get away with it.
Thanks for the vote of confidence, Rebus. And would it take such a leap of imagination to think you want into DC Clark's knickers? The two of you are inseparable.
I think we're finished here. Sir?
Linford. Stop right there!
Are you crazy?
Missed your chance, Linford! You could have run me over, said it was my fault!
You are seriously deranged, Rebus.
So says the peeping Tom. You told the brass I'm the one chasing DC Clark.
Well, you are.
Linford.
You're round at her place often enough. Okay, I didn't tell him the whole truth, but it's my career on the line. At least I know what I've done. You, on the other hand. Or maybe you just don't know yourself.
I always think the truly mad people are the ones who think they're sane. Like you.
Let's change the subject. I've been doing old-fashioned detective work while you've been rubbing Siobhan better. A Mr. Bob Cowan. Witness statement. The moon was nearly full that night.
The night Roddy Grieve was murdered?
The very same. He says he left the Holyrood Tavern around 12:45. He saw two men standing just outside Queensbury House. A strange place and time for a meeting, he thought.
Do you get a description?
Yeah, where are we? Here we are. Both were dressed casually. dark jackets. One of them had trainers and close-cropped hair. Big, droopy eyes, apparently. 6 feet tall, broad shoulders. What do you think?
We could get a photo fit out of that. Take it round pubs in the area. It's got to be worth a go. Congratulations. Write a letter of apology to DC Clark. Stay away from the station until she's ready. Maybe tomorrow it'll be safe to show your face.
Thanks, John.
Beat it, Linford.
God, our comfort and our hope, with heavy hearts and tearful spirits we pray to you now, and we ask you to give us strength.
Not exactly a big turnout for Chris Mackey, nay Freddie Hastings. A couple of his old homeless cronies. No sign of the Greaves, I notice.
We ask you to take the feelings of loss that we have, our heartache and our pain, and accept these as signs.
Just as well Lorna's not here. Sleeping with a witness. Aren't you losing it, John Rebus? How many of the dead still bear a grudge? Hang on to their secrets? A late winter evening, the dusk too early, you start to imagine things. The ghosts here flutter around your head. Edinburgh in winter, shades and shadows. Cafferty's looming larger than any other shade. What's he up to? When's he going to make his move?
Let me get this straight.
Oh, I'm not sure you're asking the right man.
There were three cases. The skeleton in the fireplace, my super tramp who threw himself off Waverley Bridge, and MSP candidate Roddy Greaves.
Yep. I can count them on the one hand.
And you're rolling them into one.
Too many coincidences. A body's found in Queensbury House. We know it was put there in 1979. Almost 20 years later, Roddy Greaves is killed outside Queensbury House.
Yeah, but number three is a suicide, not a murder.
Freddie Hastings. He becomes super tramp in what year? 1979. In life, he was the business partner of who? Alistair Greaves. That's more than coincidence.
But it's all still circumstantial.
And somewhere in amongst it all are our old friends, Bryce Callan and Big Ger Cafferty.
Oh.
This city, Siobhan. Silent victims and haunted souls.
Well, at least it's different from the usual pre-Christmas stuff. Pickpockets and shoplifters, muggins.
Festive depression. All these long nights and dark days. People drink themselves angry. Then they unravel. And on that happy note, I leave you.
Pub calling?
Nightcap?
Better not.
The English steel we could disdain, secure in Valor Station. But English gold has been our bane. Such a parcel of rogues in a nation.
Never had your days of burns, scholar, Gafferty.
I'm an old Scots sentimentalist.
Well, you started murdering music as well.
Be nice to me, Rebus. I'm a sick man.
Not as sick looking as your Berlini, pal. That's Rab there, isn't it? Sleeping in a bar. Some bodyguard.
Well, when you've been in prison as long as him, you lose the capacity for drink. Funny you mentioning Bryce Callan the other day. I should get back in touch. We're all on the way out, Estroman.
This may be the best chance I ever get to take a pop at you.
Stay amen. If you sneezed, that'd be a 1,000 pieces.
Achoo. Bill, it's John Rebus.
Oh, dear.
How's life in Berlini?
Sometimes I feel like one of my own inmates.
The joys of being a prison governor.
I take it this isn't a social call.
Big Ger Cafferty.
I'd never have guessed. Look, John, I know it grates when we let one back out.
It's why he's out.
The man's got cancer.
Aye, and the Guinness boss had Alzheimer's.
Cafferty's dying. You know it, and I know it.
Any chance I can see his medical records?
Nope.
What about someone called Rab, released at the same time as Cafferty?
Rab Hill.
Rab Hill's not coping too well with the outside world.
Excuse me if my heart doesn't bleed.
Listen, Bill, put my mind at rest. Take a look at those records.
X-rays don't lie.
And this Rab Hill 2, background, anything you've got, will you do that for me?
You know something, Rebus? You're harder work than half my prisoners.
I do my best. Thanks, Bill.
Sir, we've tracked down Freddie Hastings and Alistair Greaves' business files. Floppy disks going back to 1975. Technical boys are trying to open them now.
That's good work.
And we've got a printout of the facial reconstruction.
The skeleton? Great, let's go.
And Lorna Greaves turned up at the desk.
Right. You get Siobhan or Linford to see her.
She's gone across to the Maltings bar. Said she'd wait there. For you, sir.
I will look at the printout in 20 minutes.
Orange and lemonade, monkey man. You should try this. Bloody Mary. After Mary, Queen of Scots. Got her head chopped off. Cheers. First one today.
What can I do for you, Lorna?
I want to know what's happening. We are being kept in the dark.
Well, that's not true. As soon as we have anything...
Don't you think I have special rights now, Inspector?
Listen, maybe there is something you can help us with. Come across the station.
D.S. Wiley, let's have a look at that printout.
What's the big mystery?
The skeleton that was found in Queensbury House 20 years ago. We've managed to make a reconstruction of the victim's face.
And you think it might be Alistair? Oh, my God.
Sir, if it does turn out to be him, perhaps not a good idea.
I've told you, we get regular postcards from Alistair.
So you do, okay. It was a bad idea.
Well, you've dragged me over here now, so let's see.
Sir?
Go on.
Oh, you bloody idiot. You've seen Mother's paintings of Alistair. This looks nothing like him. Isn't it bad enough that I have one murdered brother? You want to kill the other one too? Oh, let me out of this madhouse. Your boss, darling, isn't just a moron. He's a vicious moron.
I'd better go after her.
D.S. Wiley, a bit of advice. Study what I do and then do the exact bleeding opposite. Leave her be. Damage is done now. Any word from the techie boys?
They've managed to open Hastings and Alistair Greaves' 1978 and 79 files. Bids on land, mainly.
Where?
Carlton Road, Abbey Mount, Hillside.
1979, the devolution referendum. Parliament cited in the old Royal High School all the land round there would be worth a fortune.
They took a gamble on Scotland voting yes, and they lost.
Did they have that kind of money? And if they didn't?
Somebody else did.
Who?
They seem to have done a lot of work with a company called AD Holdings.
AD?
Anno Domini?
That's what it stands for?
Doubt it. Doesn't seem to stand for anything. Company's house registration just has AD.
AD, BC, BC. Could it be?
Could it be what, sir? Oh, he's really losing it.
You're seriously trying to tell me that all three cases are really one case?
Well, at the very least, there are powerful connections. Work finished in Queensbury House in March 79. A week later, Freddie Hastings, our super tramp, and Alistair Greave, Roddy's brother, do a runner. The skeleton, the tramp, and the politician.
But I don't understand.
Nor do I, yet. Something to do with Bryce Callan, Cafferty's boss in those days. Callan's living in Spain. I want to give him a wee ring. I've got an idea.
Yes? Who's this?
Is that Bryce Callan?
I asked first.
I am Detective Inspector John Rebus, Lothian and Borders Police. I'd like to speak to Mr. Bryce Callan.
You lot have better manners than I remember.
That'll be the customer relations training, sir. I also have Chief Superintendent Watson with me.
What is this? A party?
Good day, sir. Is it okay if we record this, Mr. Callan, just for our records?
You might have a record, pal, but my sheet's clean. What's this about?
It's about a company called AD Holdings.
Mr. Callan?
This tape won't be used in a court of law.
No reason it would be, sir.
Okay. Fire away.
AD Holdings is your company?
Nope. I had a few shares, I think.
AD were buying up parcels of land around Calton Hill in the name of another company run by a Mr. Freddie Hastings and a Mr. Alistair Grieve.
You're going back how far?
Late 1970s. It's a question of a sum of money.
Money?
£400,000. We're trying to find a home for it.
You are?
The aforementioned Freddie Hastings was developing property with AD Holdings in the late 70s. Subsequently, he lived as a down and out.
What? He didn't spend the money?
Maybe he was holding it for someone. Maybe he was afraid. The point is, we've deduced that Freddie was working for you, Mr. Callan. He had no family, no will. The Treasury gets to claim the money if nobody else does.
That would be a shame. Well, maybe I had more than just a few shares in AD.
Well, I need more than that, Mr. Callan, to ensure we're getting this money to the rightful owner.
Aye, well, they did take money off me. And then, the scarpered.
You notified the police, of course.
Oh, aye, sure. Why do you think I used Hastings as a front in the first place? You lot were always accusing me of all sorts.
You were intending to develop the property bought by AD Holdings?
Had there been a yes vote, but there wasn't.
So you'd have needed planning permission. Freddie and Alistair might have found that easier to secure.
Well, like I said, all those false accusations against me.
I don't suppose there's any chance you have some paperwork proving that you gave Freddie Hastings nearly £500,000.
I might have.
Excellent. Then I think we can proceed.
So, can I claim the money then?
Well, just to clear up another matter, Freddie Hastings committed suicide the day after prospective MSP Roddy Grieve was killed. He was Alistair's brother.
So?
This was shortly after a corpse was found in an old fireplace in Queensbury House.
Aye.
Your nephew, Barry Hutton, was working there at the time. Scotland didn't get devolution in 1979. The land AD Holdings had bought wasn't going to be a gold mine after all.
What's that got to do with Barry?
Well, the body was put in the fireplace at the same time Mr. Hutton was working there. As well as devolution not happening, you discovered that Freddie Hastings had been skimming.
Now, hold on there.
So I have two questions, Mr. Callan. Whose body is it? And why did you have him killed?
You lousy conniving wee bastard! You've no intention of handing over that dosh. You see, when I get my hands on you, what's your name again? Rebus? There'll be blood and snotters and a weeping widow!
Hey, Siobhan. All the better for not seeing you. Linford, you're not going to be old pals again. You're lucky she didn't report you for harassment.
Let's stick to business, eh?
We've made a connection between Bryce Callan and Alistair Grieve and Freddie Hastings.
How? What connection? Are you keeping something from me, Rebus?
Of course not. In fact, I can give you some information we've just picked up from a foreign contact. You need to look into Barry Hutton.
Callan's nephew who worked on Queensbury House. You want me to get onto Hutton? Why me? Is this some kind of test?
You're getting a suspicious mind, Linford. Good. Maybe you're turning into a real cop.
Thought we might take another drive.
You bought a new motor?
Jaguar XK8. What, you think I stole it?
You're not better off hiring, given your condition.
I'm indulging myself. You coming, Inspector?
No, Rab.
Didn't he think I need a bodyguard?
Now you're insulting me.
Get in. We can have a wee chat about Bryce Callan.
Callan.
Aye, we spoke on the phone.
He knows you're out.
Like a good expat, he keeps abreast of Scottish affairs.
I'd bet a year's wages there's nothing wrong with you, Cafferty.
You think so?
Aye, I do. It was your wee chat with Mr. Callan.
All you need to know is you're after the wrong man. It's Hutton, his nephew, you should be looking at.
Or is it you, Cafferty?
You're feeding me hutton. Why would that be?
Rebus, you'd ignore a crime in front of your nose just to get me. I'm doing you a favour here. Get you a bit of glory and keep Bryce Callan from killing you. Hutton's your man. And Edinburgh's honourable city council.
Rebus.
I'm following Hutton.
You're doing what? I said look into him, not surveillance.
He's in a pub in Leith. Went in there with a dodgy-looking character. Been in there for an hour and a quarter.
Which pub?
There's no name above the door.
Bellman's. Stalking Siobhan isn't training for tailing a player like Hutton. And anyway, it's illegal.
Don't patronise me, Rebus.
He knows you're following him, son, believe me. And now so do his thugs. Do not go into that pub. I'm on my way.
There's no need.
I'll be there. Do nothing.
Whatever Rebus says, do the opposite.
Rebus.
John, it's Bill Nairn.
Bill, can we make this quick? I'm on my way out.
I've got an address for you, for Rab Hill. Benmore Hotel.
Berlini to the Benmore. Cafferty must be picking up that bill. And Hill's medical records?
Nothing much. Complained a while ago about a dicky stomach. He had some tests done. All clear.
Wasn't sent to the same hospital as Cafferty by any chance?
Yes, but I don't really see what that's got to do with it.
Don't you?
Sir.
Sorry, Bill, got to go.
Linford's been attacked.
That quickly?
He's been taken to the infirmary.
How is he?
He's not good.
Did he say what happened?
No, his jaw's broken, he can't talk. Something about being hit from behind. The doctors have pumped him full of drugs now. But he managed to write something down.
Rebus knew I was there.
Meaning?
Meaning he thinks I did it. Nobody else knew where he was.
But it has to be who he was following. It stands to reason.
It's one of Hutton's thugs. But that's not the way Linford sees it. I phoned him. He gave me his locus. I said I was on my way. Either I whacked him or I set him up.
But why would you?
Revenge. Sheer badness. Jealousy.
Over me.
Whoever did clobber Linford wasn't happy about being followed by the police. Hutton's men would have spotted Linford a mile off. Three deaths, all of them connected to property deals back in the 70s and then in the 90s. Barry Hutton, in the property business then and now. Which of his henchmen did he send out from Bellman's to batter Linford? And what's the bet the same thug killed Roddy Grieve? Only one way to find out.
Who the hell's that? Bar's closed, beat it.
Big Poe, lovely to hear your voice. I'm sure you don't want me to call out my name. Who knows who might hear?
Rebus, you try to get me killed. Get in quick.
Anyone finds out I'm alone with the filth?
It's a bit late to regret a career as a snitch, Poe. Barry Hutton was in here earlier.
Might have been. And I'm no snitch, just a
decent citizen doing his bit for the community. Heard it. That'll be why you make your pub the meeting place for every scumbag in town.
As if I have a choice. Dump like this.
Hutton was here with another man. My guess is the other one left before Hutton. Who was he?
Sorry, it's more than my life's worth.
Who was he? I can make your life pretty hellish too.
Lorimer.
Lorimer. Big guy? Bruiser? Got a first name and address?
Why don't you just break my legs now?
First name? Where?
We're not going to get much out of this one. Vocabulary of about a dozen words, half of which would make your granny shriek.
He fits the description we have, I've checked.
DC Clark, meet Mr. Mick Lorimer. Well known to us, previous is for assault, entering lockfast premises, housebreaking.
Talented man.
Solicitor.
You think you need one?
Solicitor.
That's quite a long word, actually. Sorry, Mickey boy. We get you for 6 hours to ourselves. That's the law.
Did you assault our colleague, D.I. Linford?
Who?
The man who was following you last night.
Aye. Some idiot was following us. Looked a bit like a police to me, didn't he touch him, but...
But you did see him.
You had a good laugh when you came in there. All that about me being stupid. But I know the cops aren't allowed to follow innocent men around the place.
Did you kill Roddy Grieve?
Who?
Maybe it was a mistake. Slip of the hand. You see, DC Clark, we know that Mick here gets the red mist every so often.
Beat it.
You have a history of it, Lorimer.
We also know, Mr. Lorimer, that you were in the vicinity of Queensbury House the night Roddy Grieve was killed.
You've got nothing on me.
We'll have a photo fit. You were identified in the lineup.
So what? Means nothing.
Are we charging Mr. Lorimer, Inspector?
Shut up. With what?
Oh, I think so. Let's start with assault of a police officer.
I know you can't talk yet, Derek, but I won't ask how you're feeling. There's no point. I just wanted you to know it wasn't John's fault. He'd never do something like that. What happened between us, Derek? It's not going to help anyone if you... The only person you should blame is the man who did this. We've got him, Mick Lorimer. That look in your eyes, is that for Rebus or for me? I thought you were cutting down.
You thought wrong.
Oh, sorry, I forgot. Whiskey's the answer to the world's problems.
All done?
I checked on your Rab Hill character.
Cafferty's bestest new friend. Don't tell me no one's seen him around.
Hotel says he's checked out.
I bet he has.
Not in person. Another man came in and paid the bill. Still, he's got an appointment with his parole tomorrow.
I think you'll find that'll be a no-show.
Then I went to see Derek.
And how is D.I. Linford? It was me told him to investigate Hutton's men. You could read that as me asking him to deploy an illegal surveillance of murderous thugs. Maybe I did want the bugger hurt.
No.
To teach him something.
What? Humility? Punish him for being a voyeur? He's made a formal complaint, John. They could suspend you.
They'd have to catch me first. We're getting so close to working out this whole thing. Grieve, Hastings, the skeleton. We just need someone who'll talk to us.
They're either dead, complicit, or vanished.
Alistair Grieve's not dead. We'd have heard if he was. He knows what happened 20 years ago. If I could find him.
How? Lorna and his mother have no clue where he is.
We need to coax him out with a bit of cheese. Or a funeral. My guess is he'll turn up for his brother's funeral.
Wonder how many people will turn up at my graveside. Sammy? Maybe Siobhan and the Chief Super? Or just Cafferty to spit on my grave? Must be over 100 folk here. Behind all the sad faces, they're wondering which restaurant they'll eat in tonight. Alistair can't be here. No matter how much he's changed, his sister and mother would recognise him. But he'll turn up. I'll wait in the sleet with my ghosts. That could be him. Or just a man visiting his own ghosts. No. That's him, all right.
Evening, sir. Yes, you're at the right place.
Excuse me?
That's Roddy. But before you say your last goodbye, I'd like you to come with me.
I think you have me mixed up with someone else.
There's another grave you should see. Weren't so many turned out for Freddy's funeral. Couple of officers, couple of winos.
How did he die?
Killed himself. Saw something in the paper and decided he'd had enough of hiding.
The money?
Left it untouched. Maybe he was waiting for you to show up, Alistair. Or maybe it was just the guilt. Where have you been living?
Run a bar in the Caribbean. How did you find me?
I didn't. You found me. Your brother Roddy got us together. The paintings helped.
Paintings?
Your mother's been putting you on canvas ever since you left.
When did you find out about Roddy?
A few days after the murder. Then I saw the funeral announcement. The Scotsman online.
Just as well it was me at the graveside. Not Barry Hutton.
That bastard. Is he still around?
Very much so.
I think maybe it's time you told us. Who's the body in the fireplace?
So, you know. Hutton must have put it there. He was working on Queensbury House. Not that he did much work, just spying on us.
For Bryce Callan?
Callan was grooming him for better things.
He did a good job.
Callan was buying up land around Calton Hill, with both eyes on the new Parliament. He didn't want the planners knowing it was him.
So he used you as a front?
Callan had a contact in the council. He was on a promise. If the vote went no, the land would be worth no more than when he bought it. But had it been yes...
And when it wasn't, Callan was left with all this land and no profit.
He blamed Freddie and me for everything. Well, Freddie was playing silly buggers with the numbers, telling Callan he had to pay more than was the case.
Callan found out.
Wanted his money back, with interest.
So he sent a man round.
Called Mackey? A real piece of work.
Chris Mackey?
Yeah, I think so.
That's what Freddie called himself all these years.
So how did the real Chris Mackey end up dead?
He was only meant to scare us, and he was scary. Freddie freaked, picked up a letter opener. When Mackey pulled the gun, Freddie just lunged at him. It was self-defence. He didn't mean to kill him.
Then what?
We dumped him in his car. Callan must have found him there, and he and Barry walled him up in the fireplace. They'd both definitely kill us now. Freddie and me agreed to run in different directions. Freddie kept the money. We were meant to meet up a year to the day to divvy it up.
But you didn't make the meet.
I had a different life by then.
Freddie deposited the money in the bank in the name of Chris Mackey. After he read of your brother's murder, he killed himself. Hutton and Callan are getting away with this.
Away with what? They didn't actually kill anyone.
But they made it all happen.
You're not coming out of this smelling the roses either, Mr. Grieve. A contact in the council, you say?
Someone in the planning department is all I know.
Remember Archie Ewer?
The Labour guy, furious that Roddy Grieve got the MSP nomination.
He's in planning, and he's been around for years.
Archie Ewer had had a heart attack, just after he lost his bid for MSP. He was back home now, but wired up to monitors and drips. Interviewing a man at death's door. All the fun of the fair. How are you feeling, Mr. Ewer?
Fine. To all this bloody nonsense.
I'm just going to set up this tape recorder, sir.
I don't suppose you'll want tea.
Thanks for the offer, but we're fine, Mrs. Ewer.
Okay. Ready.
Mr. Ewer, do you know a man called Barry Hutton?
Property developer. As you clearly know, I run the council's planning committee. Mr. Hutton always has schemes coming before us.
How long have you been a planning councillor?
You know fine well. Best part of 25 years.
You were on the committee in 1978 and 79. Did you come across Bryce Callan?
I know his name.
And Freddie Hastings?
A bit of a wine boy, as I remember.
And Barry Hutton?
Never met the man. Get on with it.
If you insist. You were selling developers information, Mr. Ewer.
How dare you?
Be quiet, Matt. That's a strong accusation, Inspector.
We know someone in the council helped Callan and Hutton secure land around the Parliament site to make sure there'd be no problems with consent.
Good story, Giaconori.
Planning decisions can make people millions of pounds. You moved into this house, and very nice it is, sir, in 1980?
We bought it with the sweat of our brows.
But how much more could someone make if they were planning for the whole of Scotland?
Oh, this is getting better. Is it a happy ending?
You were runner-up to Roddy Grieve in the MSP ballot, weren't you?
And?
Were Roddy Grieve dead, you'd be a shoo-in. Probably still are when you get on your feet. See, I think 20 years ago you were Bryce Callan's mole. He and Hutton were cheating and you were their edge. Hutton's since gone legit and he had high hopes for you as MSP in charge of planning. I reckon Hutton sent round his thug Mick Lorimer, who is now in our custody, to scare Roddy into withdrawing his name from the ballot. Unfortunately, the red mist comes over our Mick, and he went too far. He ended up killing Roddy Grieve.
You're full of theories.
Maybe it was your complicity in that murder that brought on the heart attack, Mr. Ewer. Roddy Grieve's selection cheated you out of a lot of money.
That's an outrage!
Shut up! You've no evidence of anything.
Not quite true. But yes, we could do with more. And I think you want it too, Archie. Call it legacy. A clean break.
Aye. Come closer.
Come on, Archie. Out with it.
Nice try, son.
Archie? Oh, God, no. Not again.
Prominent politician dies under police questioning. I can just see it now. This is your retirement present to me, Rebus.
We could hardly be expected to know the man was at death's door.
And one of our up-and-coming officers lies in hospital with his face wired up. Now, if we had a case... But all you've got are theories, Inspector. For which you seem happy to kill or maim half of Edinburgh.
Hang on. Nobody asked Linford to follow Hutton. And I didn't kill Archie Hugh.
Then what did?
A guilty conscience?
Where the hell are you going?
Solve two murders and a suicide.
God help us all.
We thrive and defeat straw man, us Scots.
You might be right there, Cafferty. Here's me donnering down the street with you like we're two old buddies. The biggest defeat of all.
This is no donor, Rebus. I'm about to solve all your problems.
Why don't I like the sound of that?
You should. Call it a farewell present.
Whose farewell? Yours or mine?
We all have to live with the past. Doesn't mean we have to live in it. You got a case against Hutton yet?
Why are you so keen that I nail Barry Hutton? By the way, where's Rab Hill got to? He seems to have gone AWOL.
I heard you'd been snooping around him.
It's him has cancer, not you. You switched x-rays.
They don't pay those NHS doctors nearly enough.
I'm going to put you back inside. You know that.
Do I? You don't have a case against Hutton or Callan.
And if I ease up on you and your scam, you testify against them.
Me? Testify? That's not the way to play it, straw man.
Calton Hill? What are we doing on Calton Hill?
You taking up hill walking?
I'm a fresh air man.
Freddie and Alistair make a pact with a devil called Bryce Callan. 20 years ago. Stop me when you've something to add. It goes wrong. Freddie kills a hitman and Callan dumps the body. Our skeleton.
I love seeing a great mind at work.
Freddie gives up waiting for Alistair to return. Racked with guilt, he banks the money and lives as a tramp, disguising himself from Callan. You keeping up? But 20 years later, Callan's retired. It's his nephew Hutton who runs the business now. Hutton doesn't care about the body in the fireplace. He just wants his man in the council, Archie Ure, to be the new planning czar for the whole of Scotland.
But to get that job, he first needs to get elected as an MSP.
And Roddy Grieve gets the nomination over Ure, so Roddy has to go. It all ties up.
And you can't prove any of it.
What the hell are we doing here?
Great view from Calton Hill. Even at night. Look down there. It's almost Hogmanay, Rebus. We're about to welcome in 1999, not 1979. And this time, Westminster can't cheat Scotland of its parliament. Everywhere around you will be worth millions.
And you're buying some of it?
Taking a leaf out of Bryce Callan's book. A respectable going concern to front the purchase for me. Come on, I've something else to show you.
Wasteland and Leith. Bit down market for you, Cafferty.
Come on, straw man. Meet my business partner.
This him? Rebus. Barry Hutton, I presume. This old codger causing all the trouble. Thanks for the introduction, Cafferty. Think I'll be heading back now.
You're going nowhere, dipstick.
Aye, very good. Pity have your usual heavy locked up. You think you can do it without Mad Mick Lorimer?
Mad Mick, right enough. Wasn't supposed to kill Grieve. You, on the other hand. Hold him, Uncle Jer.
Where'll they put him?
Oh, I've got plenty of sights. A nice big hole and a ton of concrete.
Stop! Wait!
You'll stay hidden a sight longer than 20 years, Rebus.
Well, somebody will.
Hey, watch where you're pointing that thing.
Oh, I know exactly where I'm pointing it. The hole in the ground isn't for my old body here.
Uncle Jer!
What the... Gaffer, eh?
When you wake up, Rebus, it will all be just a bad dream. And you can't prove dreams.
Why didn't he kill you?
He didn't have to. That was Hutton's time, not mine.
Did you see him do it?
Not with my face in the dirt, no. I doubt you'll find a body. But Hutton's business and AD Holdings will all be under Cafferty's control now.
So that's it? You're keeping stum about Cafferty?
Oh, we've solved all three cases, Linford.
What is it with you and Cafferty, Rebus? Well, you think you're an operator? Look at you, beaten to a pulp.
At least I can eat solid.
Go back to your sick bed, Linford.
Oh, I had to see this. Hard man Rebus, half dead.
Can you walk? Here, I'll help you.
Thanks, Siobhan.
Oh, touching.
Oh, sorry, didn't catch that. Maybe when you get the stitches out.
One day I'll get you fired. Both of you.
Come on, John. I'll take you home.
In Rebus, set in darkness, dramatised by Chris Dolan from the novel by Ian Rankin, D.I. Rebus was played by Ron Donoghue, Siobhan Clark by Gian Potter, Linford, Martin McBride, Cafferty, Gary Lewis, Watson, Douglas Russell, Wiley, Amira Darwish, Lorna, Juliet Cadzo, Alicia, Leslie Mackey, Hutton, Andy Clark, Callan, John Buick, and Alistair Grieve by Kenny Blythe. Other parts were played by the cast. Rebus, set in darkness, was a BBC Scotland production, directed in Glasgow by Bruce Young.
After the news, the celebrated Australian writer Tim Winton will be discussing his novel Dirt Music, which was shortlisted for the Man Booker Prize in 2002. Join James Naughtie and an audience of readers for Book Club here on Radio 4 in a couple of minutes.